Thank you, Eileen.
It's the Ray Dassey Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. How are you? Beginning of the weekend, 5155 on ray@rte.ie. It's the weekend of the King and the Boss. That's the, yeah, the King and the Boss. They're the only two stories in town. Well, around, if you know what I mean. Yes, King Charles will be coronated. That is a word, tomorrow. All the pomp and ceremony. Some people will be watching, others won't, by way of protest. But there'll be people travelling to London from all over the UK, and they'll be taking, some of them, public transport, and they'll be on trains. And when they go to their local train station, they will hear the King and the Queen, because they've recorded a message.
My wife and I wish you and your families a wonderful coronation weekend.
Wherever you are travelling, we hope you have a safe and pleasant journey.
And remember, please mind the gap.
Sorry. Yep. Oh, that's lovely. That's really lovely. So that's the King. But for a lot of people, very close to here, the boss is a lot more important. And their eyes and ears will be trained on the stage in the RDS tonight, Sunday night and Tuesday night. And our Sinead Ní Uachtaráin has been out and about. I love saying your name, Sinead.
Why, thank you. My friends wouldn't, they weren't able to pronounce it, so they used to say Ní Unicorn.
No, Ní Unicorn.
That was my nickname for a while.
Yeah. So, can you sense that you're out and about in Dublin City and it must be just thronged with Boss fans, Bruce Springsteen fans?
Thronged with Boss fans. I've been on O'Connell Street, I've been on Henry Street, and I've been talking to people who have come from far and wide for the Boss. I'm now close enough to Lansdowne Road and I'm making my way towards the RDS, and I can see the crowds gathering. The buses are passing, but they won't be for long more, because I do believe that the 4 and the 7 will be operating for another little while, and then that they'll stop because of traffic.
Right.
And that there'll be a little bit of a detour through Donnybrook, but I can feel it in the air already. I think that the weather really adds to it, and it's been quite sunny today. I've had my sunglasses on, my shades were on, and I was out and about talking to people about what it is about the Boss
yes.
that they love, because there is this Irish love for him, isn't there?
Well, there is. We've taken him to our hearts. Can you spot a Bruce Springsteen fan? You know, like, because you're walking around there, there's loads of people, it's a busy city centre. Is there something about Bruce Springsteen fans that makes them stand out from the crowd?
Perhaps they're a little bit older.
Right.
I'll say that much. But as, on top of that, a lot of them like to wear the merchandise. So I met a man earlier and he had a baseball cap on and it just said The Boss.
Yes.
And it wasn't Hugo Boss, it was The Boss.
Yes.
And a few others who had garments on with spring nuts. I think that's what they call
super
people
fans.
Who support him are
yes.
super fans.
Yeah.
And you can see people... They're wearing the merchandise, they're loud and they're proud, and they want to meet other people who are going to the concert as well tonight. Tonight, Sunday night and Tuesday night. He'll be wrecked.
I'm jealous. And he does over 3 hours. That's the big thing. And he's been doing over 3 hours for the last, I don't know, 30, 35 years.
Mm.
That's his thing. That's his signature. Have you ever been to a Bruce Springsteen concert?
I haven't, I'm afraid, no. And I don't have tickets for the concerts this weekend. And I don't believe that I'll get tickets either. I was trying to go around the city there looking for a few, but nobody's selling.
Yeah.
I think anyone who has them, that they're really keeping them close to their hearts. They don't want to let them go. They're really enjoying the buzz, the atmosphere.
Yes.
And think about it as well. He's all over Europe. So we have some super fans who have been travelling all around Europe and who will be travelling all around Europe, because he will be on stage for another few weeks as well.
Right, okay.
I don't know how he does it for a man who's 73.
Yeah, well he's a fit man and he takes a day off in between, obviously minds himself. I'd say he visits the gym a good bit, watches what he's eating and drinking, all of that sort of thing, you know. But and then good jeans. And I'm not talking about his denims, I'm talking about the G-E-N-E-S. So you spotted them and you went up with your microphone, and what'd you say to them?
Well, I spotted Jim first, and I asked him what his favourite Springsteen song is.
Well, it used to be Dancing in the Dark, because I remember when I was 18, jumping around the discos and headbanging to that when I was a kid in Kilkenny. But The River was brilliant in Slane in the original concert. When he did that live in Slane, and the camera down the stage turned to the river, that was amazing. Oh, The Streets of Philadelphia, that's my favourite song. My favourite thing I like was Bruce. He's friends with you two, because they're my thing. Everyone hates him in Ireland except me. I was bruised and battered, I couldn't tell what I felt. I was
unrecognizable to myself. I saw my reflection in a window and didn't know my own face. Oh brother, are you gonna leave me wasting away on the streets of Philadelphia?
Great song. I think it won an Oscar, that one as well. Streets
did.
Of Philadelphia, yeah. And you're saying people from all over the place, all over the world.
All over the world. And I met Sunerva. She had come all the way from Norway.
Now, where's Sunerva gone? She's gone. She's disappeared. Hold on now. Get her back.
Well, she was fine and excited this morning when I met her on Henry Street. And she was sporting, I do believe, a Springsteen top as well. So she was looking forward to the event.
Yeah, hold on now. Because we've lost our cart wall. The computer says no.
Computer says no.
Computer says
Control Alt Delete.
Okay. So, Sunerva.
Well, we come from Norway, from Western Norway, a small place called Sandøy.
What is it you love about the boss?
Must be the music, the energy, the shows that last for 3-4 hours. Super cool.
What's your favorite Springsteen song?
I think I must say Cover Me from 1984 or something like that. He has a lot of great songs. I really liked the Born in the USA album. I think that was the one that introduced me to him, really.
There you go. That's Sunerva there. And she's all the way from Norway. And then you met who?
I met Olga as well. And I asked her why she was in Dublin.
Oh, yeah. And here you go. Now, this is...
Bruce Springsteen. We're going to the concert this evening.
Have you come all the way from Germany especially to be here for the concert?
Yes, yes.
You must be a big fan.
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. Great fans. Since 30 years, I guess. We've seen many concerts of him and now we are here in Dublin. And we're going to Amsterdam in 2-3 weeks. And afterwards to Düsseldorf, Germany. And we've been to New York and seen him already there.
So you're super fans, really?
Yes, 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 we are.
Super fans. And I'm super excited that the computer is back with us.
Wonderful, wonderful.
I've been here 9 years and that has never happened to me before. But there's a first time for everything. So we're back in control. And Olga was saying the wee word. And the wee was herself, her husband Jorgen and their two sons. And Jorgen was talking about what it is that they like about Bruce. No, the computer's going no again.
Computer says no.
Let's say one more time.
It's his songwriting. It is his live performances. His professional work. He's always professional on stage. So this is why we like him. And, well, he's 73 now. And we saw him in New York from very close up on stage. And we were so amazed about the condition he is in and the joy he still has doing his job.
He seems to be very popular in Germany.
Very popular in Germany, and that was a family affair because Jürgen was there with his wife Olga, yeah, their two sons Daniel and Simon,
right,
but also their girlfriends were there as well.
Right.
So they had brought a whole posse together to come over, and it's not just Ireland that they're visiting as well, as you could hear there from Olga.
Yes, they've been all over the place. And Ella as well is from Germany.
For me, it's the lyrics that go together with the music, of course. And, well, he's been part of my life ever since I was like 14 or something. I saw him for the first time live in Amsterdam or Rotterdam when I was 16. And ever since, I was infected and trying to see as much as I can.
What's your favorite Springsteen song?
Well, Thunder Road is one of the best, of course.
Hey, what else can we do now except roll down the window and let the wind blow back your ear? Well, the night's busted open, these two lanes will take us anywhere. We got one last chance to make it real, to trade in these wings on some wheels, climbing back in the ones we down on the track. Come take my
Thunder Road.
And I met a couple, Ray, and they had a special place, there was a special place in their hearts for this song, Thunder Road, as well, because there was a personal connection. I met
Thunder
Kelly
Road
and John.
Thunder Road is my all-time favourite song, not just Bruce, but across the board. And we, after we got married in 2021, we walked back up the aisle as man and wife to that song. And it was one of the best moments of our lives, I think. And coming here is probably going to be up there as well.
Hey, that's Kelly and the hubby. Now, Sinead, I'm going to get a sledgehammer to the equipment here in the studio.
Sledgehammer? That's someone else.
we'll be all ready for you when we come back to you. So what's the plan now?
Well, the plan is I'm heading down towards the RDS. I want to be close to the venue. I want to be meeting the people who are about to queue because the gates open at 5 p.m. He's on stage at 7 p.m. sharp. Apparently, capacity for the RDS 18,500, so that's 16,500 seated and 2,000 standing, so it's going to be packed.
Yes,
so wish
packed.
Me luck. I'll be you'll probably just hear me, hello, Ray.
Yeah, and a lot of people want to get there first because they want to be close to the stage so they can see his expressions and, you know, nearly touch him. That's part of the experience for a Bruce Springsteen concert. So we'll be back to you before 4 o'clock. Mind yourself, Sinead. See you. Bye. And you would have heard that Bruce was touring the country, not just any part of the country, my part of the country. He was down in Rathangan and Newbridge. He must have passed through Kildare on the way, and he met Mario Corrigan, who's an old schoolmate of mine, and Mario's on the line. How you doing, Mario?
Hey, Ray, how's it going?
Not too bad. You've hexed it now.
Oh, no.
It's your fault that the computer's down.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I was trying to work it out. So we probably know each other 54 years, Mario.
Oh, my God, yeah. At least, God, yeah. That makes us very young, doesn't it, you know?
So tell them, you're the senior executive librarian with Kildare County Council.
Yeah.
And we heard one of your colleagues on News at One. So what happened?
Carol.
Remind us, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we got the word on Wednesday that he was coming, and we were sworn to secrecy. It was going to be a very private affair because... obviously, they're worried about managing, you know, what could have been an experience for an awful lot of people if they knew he was arriving somewhere.
Yeah.
And the idea was that he would come to the Riverbank Arts Centre and into the boardroom there. And Carol Kiley, who was on News at One, was actually our genealogist, our county archivist, and she presented his family tree to him, you know, the actual facts behind it, the story of it. And myself and Carol kind of just talked them through that and talked about, you know, the connections to Wicklow there. And it's real, you know, it's not one of these things, oh, well, you know, was he really? It's an actual fact that his great, great, great grandparents were actually married in Rathangan in 1827. And Anne Geraghty, their daughter, was born in 1838. And they all emigrated to America.
Right.
And that set in trail, you know, that connection back to Bruce.
Mario, was Rathangan a parish in its own right, or would those records have been in the Kildare parish?
No, they're both, yeah. It's Kildare-Rathangan parish
Kildare-Rathangan,
at that time.
No, the reason I ask this, because in a former life back in the 80s, I was part of a project that indexed the parish registers for Kildare. What we did was we borrowed the parish registers, which were all, they're amazing, aren't they? They're handwritten. We got them from the parochial houses, brought them to where you work, the library in Newbridge. And then we wrote each entry of marriages, births and deaths onto index cards. And there was a wonderful moment then when you were sorting through them and bringing families together that hadn't been together for hundreds of years. And one of those families would have been Bruce Springsteen's ancestors.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And like he was able to see that work, you know, he was able to see the entry in the register.
Yes.
And it was emotional for him, you know. I mean, this is the first documentary evidence that he has to his Irish roots. And it's that, you know, it is a big thing. No matter who you are, when you come face to face with that, it's joyous. But just to say, we are still trying to clean up all that work you did in the 80s, you know. We're just about on top of it now, you know.
That was pre-computerization, Mario. So it was all handwritten.
Index cards, I could imagine. Yeah. Mental.
Now, like, you are a librarian, but you're also a bass player of some renown. Did you mention that to the boss?
No, it was mentioned. One of the ladies from corporate services did say, mentioned me as a rock star in a former life, but he didn't seem to bite on that. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of guys up on stage with him. He could have squeezed me in there somewhere. Yeah, but I mean, the closest thing, we did make him kind of take a step back when myself and James Durney were there, and we said we were both at Slane, and we didn't know each other at the time.
Right.
But we were at Slane, and he was going, oh, yeah, yeah. And you just think of the senselessness you said to it, because probably everybody tells them a story about a concert they were at. How in God's name would the man remember it? But, you know, it's like the GPO now, Slane, isn't it? You know, everybody was there.
Yeah.
But it was an amazing concert.
What year was that, Mario?
I think that was 85.
Right. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And he was still doing the 3.5 hours, which he continues to do up until this date. You gave him some, as well as sharing his past with him, his ancestry, you gave him some gifts.
I inducted him into the library service, and we presented him with his first library card, which he found hilarious, you know. And it's a gorgeous little card with these cartoon characters. But he actually stood up with it, and his photographer guy took a photo. So we're praying to God that we get a copy of that photo.
Yes.
Because I'm sure that our membership rates might spike.
Yes.
But also a Kildare flag. And we gave it to him in, it was wrapped up in plastic. It's an official flag and all of that crap. But he opened it up and he unfurled it, and we talked him through the symbols on the flag. And he was genuinely, you know, taking it back and really appreciative of it. So I asked him, would he unfurl that in Croke Park? And of course, he's not in Croke Park. But you never know. Somebody should run to Croke Park just in case. But yeah, look, if he unfurls the Kildare flag in the RDS, that'll do us fine in the EL shortcast.
I know what you were thinking there. You're thinking that this could be our year in Croke Park, and you're hoping.
I was thinking it was possibly your only chance, I won't want to hex it for Glenn now and the lads, you know, but yeah.
And you've been a student of history, Mario. Was it 1928 that we last won the All-Ireland?
I was going to touch for a moment. You were saying, did I go into college in 1928? No, 27 and 28, and 28 was the first time they raised the Sam Maguire, and that was unfortunately the last time we were there. We got close in 98,
yes,
if you remember.
Yes, I do. I watched it on the Curragh race course. So that's something to treasure. Did you actually get to shake his hand? Did you?
Yeah, I have to say, like, you know, you meet people along the way. He was one of the nicest guys you could meet. Really gracious. Had time for everybody. And I think that, you know, was seen out when he visited Rattangan. When you look at social media and that later, he sat down in the Borough pub with the Conlons and sang a song,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, and he turned up, apparently the teacher in the they had a class in the community centre in Rattangan, and they just walked in and the teacher nearly dropped, you know. But he really was a lovely guy.
Great. Mario, good to talk to you again. I'll speak to you again in 54
Absolutely.
Years. Good to see you. Bye. See you, Mario. Bye. I'm sort of jealous now. I'd love to go to the concert. I've never been to a Bruce Springsteen concert, but reading all the interviews and looking at them and listening to all those people who are so excited about going to see him tonight or Sunday night or Tuesday night. I want to be there. Dancing in the Dark. I suppose that's the song that introduced him to a lot of people. Sort of was a crossover hit, wasn't it? I think that's how it was described. Okay, we're looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our whodunit quiz. Two quizzers, 3 whodunit questions on music, sport, books, politics, inventions, anything that involves human endeavour. And like all whodunits, there will be clues. If you answer without a clue, you get 2. If you go for a clue, it's easier. You get 1 point for a correct answer. And there is a prize. And this week we say thank you very much to the 5-star Muckross Park Hotel and Spa. They've given us a 2-night break for 2 people. It's a nice break down there in Killarney. Dinner on one evening at Monk's Lounge and breakfast each morning. Summer starts at Muckross Park Hotel and Spa with midweek stays starting from just €99 per person in May and June. Lots to experience during your stay, from the award-winning spa to a selection of indoor and outdoor or even alfresco dining options. Why say outdoor when you can say alfresco? Every guest has access to the stunning Vitality Suite and two-hour complimentary bicycle access to explore Killarney National Park, which is there on your doorstep. You're in it. Muckerspark.com, Muckerspark.com. Now, on this Friday afternoon, here's your qualifying question. Bruce Springsteen is known as the boss or the employee? Bruce Springsteen is known as the boss or the employee? 0818 715925. 0818 715925.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Kin has had us on the edge of our couches every Sunday night for the last week's shocking cliffhangers after cliffhanger. Well, the finale is this weekend, and it's gearing up to be very exciting. We're delighted to have Maria Doyle Kennedy, who plays Birdie, and Yasmin Seki, who plays Nikita, in studio this afternoon. Good afternoon to you both.
Hi.
Hello.
How long ago was that done, Maria?
We filmed from the summer last year until November. We finished in November.
Okay. And both of you were in both series of it.
Yeah.
Did you find the second series shooting it different, Yasmin?
Yeah, I think in the first series we were kind of restricted a bit with COVID. So like the second time around, even with the summer, like there was days where we had 35 degree weather. And then with the restrictions being lifted, just even getting to hang out really changed the atmosphere on set. And everyone was just delighted to be back doing it again. So
you do a lot of scenes together.
Yeah.
And do you hang out then after? Is that important that you get a sort to know each other off camera as well?
We all hang out a lot in Kin, don't we? We like each other. It was one of the best things about season two, knowing that we were going back to be together. A lot of filming is, you know, you rehearse it and you block it, and then they go off and fix the lights and stuff, and then you come back and do it, and then you do it many times. So there's a lot of hanging together. So it helps if the people are people you like.
Both of you play very strong women. Desperately trying to influence the men in your lives. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. What's the reaction been, Maria?
I've kind of been floored by the amount of just messages and the kind of volume of reaction to it is been a little overwhelming. I mean, very, very lovely, and I think people in Ireland don't ever really want to intrude on your own personal going about the place anyway, but every so often in somewhere unusual, like, you know, at the recycling or something, someone kind of sidles up to me and goes, "I'm Team Birdie," or something, which is really lovely.
So people who haven't seen it, so Birdie, Frank and Bren are from the one family. They're the Kinsleys.
Siblings, yeah.
Yes. And you're sort of at the top of this gang.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sort of not married into it, Frank's son, Eric, is your boyfriend.
Exactly, yes.
And he's called Viking.
He's a trouble riser.
He's a nasty piece of work, isn't he?
Well, I think that's what makes for the most interesting characters. And I think Sam does a great job playing Eric as well. But like opposite that, then you get to play Nikita, which is kind of like the yin to his yang. So it's a lot of fun.
And you had sort of parked acting, had you?
I think I had kind of like left it in the background when I was younger, and then I'd taken a few years out, and I got a message then from the casting director, who was like, "Hey, we're casting Kin. Do you want to give it a go?" And yeah, absolutely, I gave it a shot.
And why did you park it, or why did you
It's just when you're younger, and like you kind of come to a crossroads, and then like my family and trying to kind of explain to them, like, "Oh, I want to be an actor," and then there's just so much that goes on when you're young. And
And they're saying, "What sort of a job is that?"
I guess trying to like influence, cause again, like I have very traditional African parents, and I think at the time growing up there wasn't a lot of representation. It's kind of hard to try and sell a dream to someone when it's not
when they can't see it.
Exactly.
So, which is great for you, because now you're up there and you've been seen and you're a role model.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel any of that?
Yeah, at times I do. I feel like it's so good, but like it's what I grew up with. I went to an inner city school, and I grew up with lots of different nationalities. And, you know, just because they weren't always on the big screen doesn't mean that, you know, they haven't always been around me. So I think it's good that,
And you still have a day job?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And you still have a day job as well, Maria, the singing.
many jobs.
Yeah. So how was the singing going?
It's great. Yeah, we're writing and recording at the moment and just started gigging again, which is wonderful. The gigging took a long time to come back, really, especially at our level. I think I heard you talking about Bruce Springsteen earlier now. I think it's probably never been too difficult for Bruce for many years. But the smaller kind of theatres, 200, 300 seater theatres, just took a long time for people to want to gather again in them and not feel nervous. But they're up and running now again. It's wonderful. So we just started gigging. It's been really
I think people
just got
out of the habit. There was no, for some people, it wasn't fear. It was just, you know, that the habit of going out had been broken.
Yeah, maybe it's that. Yeah. I don't know. It just seemed to take a while for people to want to gather in that way again. Yeah. But I'm really glad that they have. And we've just had some really lovely times.
So Cain has been shown elsewhere around the world. Mm. Whereabouts? Nobody knows.
I don't know, no.
No, because I know it's an international production, isn't it?
Yeah, it was AMC were the people who sort of put in most of the money with RTE.
Yes,
it's made by an American production company called Bran.
Yes,
And then they sold it to lots of other territories, but I don't know where.
You don't know? So you could be in some other country and somebody would spot you and go, ah, Birdie.
Oh, well, I'm sure, yeah, except we'd sound much different because I presume we'd be dubbed.
Oh, yeah.
There'd be a German version of us, probably.
That'd be fun to see them, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. So Birdie, she's a good bit different than you, Maria Doyle Kennedy.
Well, I hope so.
But that's a great challenge and great fun to do then, isn't it?
I think nearly everybody I've played is much different than me. And it is, of course, a brilliant help to have the sort of props that immediately make you not be yourself.
So that's the attire.
Well, definitely Birdie's wardrobe has got its own, you know, personality. Yeah. It is its own character. And, you know, we decided she'd have enormous kind of false nails and all that kind of thing. And those things help you, pretend to be somebody else. I love getting dressed up as her every time I have the opportunity to wear Birdie's clothes. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, and the two of you out shopping.
Favourite pastime.
Living the dream.
Yeah. It's funny though, isn't it? All of our scenes are, they're kind of a real reflection of the Birdie character. Like, she's very nurturing and also really ruthless. And half the time she's really warm and kind to Nikita. And then sometimes she's kind of almost threatening her.
It seems like they'd be in like the most mundane situations. Like you said, out shopping and it's like, oh, by the way, you kind of need to calm Eric down. She's Jesus, I just want to buy a pair of high heels. Like, there always seems to be an ulterior motive.
There's an agenda. There is an agenda. That's why she's offering you to buy you the high heels, because she wants to get in your ear. And Amanda is the other strong woman in the mix, played by Claire Dunne.
Dunne.
And there's a sort of a, you know, because Amanda married into the family. She married Jimmy, who was your nephew. And she's becoming very powerful, and you probably don't like that as Birdie.
It's interesting, I think, Birdie and Amanda. I think there's definitely a conflict. Amanda wants to do things her own way, and she's not so kind of mired in tradition as Birdie is. You know, the generation above her really believes in the tradition and the hierarchy. I think she has to, because it's been her whole life. So if she doesn't believe in it, then everything she's done and everything she's witnessed is not really for any good reason or purpose. She has to feel it's guided by her own warped but moral compass. But also she has a kind of grudging respect for Amanda, because she sort of sees in her a younger version of herself, who had dreams and had smarts. And, you know, by rights, Birdie should have been the one running the family, really. But in the patriarchal situation they were in, they wouldn't give the power to her. So she kind of grudgingly respects Amanda trying to take it, I think.
So Bren is new. He's out of prison. He's the brother, and people are saying he's the nastiest TV character ever on Irish television. So Bren versus Nitch, who'd win that one? Do you remember Love Hate?
I do. I wasn't allowed to watch it.
Well, you know, you're too young.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, I would vote for Bren because he's ours.
Yeah.
And he is the loveliest person, Francis, in real life. Yeah, but he does a good scare.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of Kin, and I think it's up there with the best TV ever made by RTE. Hoping for a third series. Gary? I'm just looking for reaction there from Marie and Yasmin.
We could tell you, but then we'd have to kill you.
All right, and when you say that, brilliant. It's just absolutely bone chillings in somebody else. And congrats to them. It's compulsive viewing. And is it true Maria was the one who thought up the name Hothouse Flowers for the band? Now, that's going back a few years.
I was part of that decision. Yes, I was.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Love Don't Work This Way.
That's right.
With You on It is one of my favourite Irish songs ever recorded.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And then you went off to Black Velvet Band, wasn't it?
That's correct.
Yes. And then yourself and Kieran.
Yeah.
That's your musical sort of trajectory.
I call him my my partner in life and music and many, many crimes.
Right. Do you know, this time last week we had Sheila Flitton in. And Sheila, do you know Sheila?
No.
Sheila's an actor, right? She's, along with Colin Meaney, she's the only actor to have been in the three Roddy Doyle movies. She's 90.
Oh,
and she
goodness.
Was Mrs. McCormick in The Banshees of Inisherin.
Oh, yes.
So Mrs. McCormick was her name. Anyway, but just she's still doing a one-woman play. And I'm just thinking, like, isn't that the dream?
That's extraordinary.
Isn't that the dream to
be?
Yeah. Because you can keep doing it.
Well, I guess as long as you have all your marbles and can remember your lines, of course.
Yeah.
And I think work keeps you... making something creative keeps you wanting to live, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Gives
you purpose. It's a purposeful existence.
So what about series three then? Yasmin, I'm going to go for you because you're the weak one. I mean, what do you think? Will there be one?
Play the fifth. No comment.
Yes. You're brilliant. Not you couldn't. That was
not
brilliant.
No,
yeah. No. Right, Marie, I'm going for you then. What? Series three?
I mean,
it's been a huge success this year. Numbers are good, reaction, critical acclaim, all that, all the good stuff.
I mean, you'd hope there would be, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we would say?
There's a lot more to happen, isn't there?
Yeah. It's open to development,
okay,
for sure.
Right. So, final episode this week, Sunday night. Will you be watching it? Where do you watch it? Who do you watch it with? Yasmin?
I usually am at home and have my mum messaging me being like, oh my God, oh my God. And then my sister, who lives in Wales, is in the group chat being like, don't spoil anything. I can't watch it till tomorrow.
Right.
So, I guess we'll see what happens.
Right.
Watch it, but no.
Well, you know what happens, obviously.
Exactly,
yes.
Yeah, I know what happens. Yeah. But.
And when you see the edited thing, Maria, you know, like you've been in loads of things over the years, but there's a lot of sort of cliffhangers in this and the nature of a series. Each episode has to end on a sort of a thing that brings people back. Are you sometimes taken aback by some of the stuff you see, because you wouldn't be in every scene?
I am, and I've also been really interested in, it's very interesting sometimes when you film a scene and what you're watching on screen is not the person talking, but the person listening. And I think that's a testament to kind of how good everybody is and how much they worked together, that everyone was really on and really present, even when it wasn't, you know, their moment.
Yes.
And there's a lot of that this year that I'm really enjoying, really watching people's reactions to it unfold. And you can see them thinking, although they're not saying anything. I'm always really, I think editing is the crucial part of making anything. It can totally transform a story. Mm.
And you were saying before we went on air, I think that sometimes you're doing something and it feels great, and then when you watch it actually hadn't happened somewhere in the process, and other times it can feel a bit odd, a bit stop-starty, and then when the end product is actually really good.
I think you never know when you're making something. You can only concentrate on, you know, being prepared for your own stuff and then reacting and listening to the people you're working with, but you never really know what it will be like until you see it or what people will think of it.
Have you asked for advice from Maria? Have you offered advice?
I've asked for advice from a lot of the cast, and I think like I'm working with such big characters and big personalities on set. I think I'd be silly not to kind of turn to them and ask them. Even just little things like, how do you control your face? How are you getting ready for this scene? Yeah, I have. I've reached out to a lot.
And what about the whole acting career? Have you asked about that?
Yeah, but like I'm pretty aware that like a lot of them have been doing this for a while, and I'm just kind of starting back at it again.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right. Well, I think on the back of Kin, you'll be getting loads of offers. Great to see you. So this Sunday night after the news, the finale of second series of Kin. We're hoping that there's going to be a series three. Kin is the best show on RTE since Love Hate. The best thing since Sliced Bren. Alan in Limerick. There you go. Yasmin, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Maria, good to see you again. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Maria Doyle Kennedy's voice is like liquid velvet, says somebody. And such a huge fan of Maria. Ray, always remember her work in The Tudors way back when. Brill, says Claire. Well, if you like her voice, she did a version way back of Nickelback's How You Remind Me. And if you can find that on Spotify, listen to it. It's just amazing. Every time it comes up on one of the playlists on Spotify, it stops me in my tracks. How You Remind Me, Maria Doyle Kennedy. Now, the Dawn Chorus is one of the most magical experiences in nature. A multitude of birds, many different species, all singing together in harmony as morning breaks and light begins to fill the skies. And who better to tell us about the Dawn Chorus and what to expect this Sunday than Aina Ní Leabhna. Hello, Aina.
Hello, Ray. How are you doing? Are you well?
I'm good. Where are you?
Well, I'm in Terenure as we speak, but I will be shortly down in Cushkinney Marsh in Cork, which is where I'm going to go for the Dawn Chorus, which will be happening from Saturday to Sunday, all during that night, from 12 o'clock until 7 in the morning. We're broadcasting live on Radio 1, and we're linking up with other studios as well.
Yes, and this has been going for years, and it's a very special piece of radio, because you give it time.
Yeah, it is a very special piece of radio indeed. Because what's happening is that the birds are performing for us.
We're having one of those days. So when things go wrong, they tend to go wrong in threes. so we've lost.
Am I gone now?
You're just breaking up, Aina. I tell you what, we'll take another commercial break and we'll try and get a better line for you. Okay.
Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Aina Ní Leabhna, how are you?
I'm back to you again. I was just going to say, and unlike me and you talking to each other, the Dawn Chorus never stops. It's always dawn somewhere around the globe, and it's always starting somewhere. So it moves with the sun all around the globe, 24 hours at a time, and the time it's finished in one place, it's starting at the next. So it'll be starting much earlier on the east side of Britain, where you obviously have the sun rising earlier, and by the time it gets to us in Cork, it'll be later on in the morning, it'll be nearer, it'll be 20 minutes earlier in Dublin. So it's a great wave of sound,
yes, yes.
Ray, that goes across the world in the morning time. It's great.
And it is as if they're sort of joining together. So it starts off with a single bird, one or two or three, and then it builds and builds and builds and builds into a crescendo.
Yeah, well, that's because the different birds are stimulated. The ones with the biggest eyes get the most light gathered in their eyes first. So they're the ones that start singing first. Birds such as blackbirds, for example, the one is that blackbird, we always take a bet, so he'll be the first. And quite often it's the blackbird.
Right.
And the robin will be after that. Whereas ones with smaller eyes, such as great tits and blue tits, they could be an hour and a half later before they're stimulated with the light to start singing. Because to start before dawn, I mean, dawn is probably 5 o'clock, but we'll have birds singing at four because they're sub light, you know, it's not full light yet. They're awake. It's too dark to go looking for food because birds hunt by sight. So, but they're still throwing shapes. They're still telling the neighbours, I didn't die during the night. Don't you dare set foot in my territory and leave my missus alone. So like it's only the boys that sing. The women never open their mouths. Imagine living in a world, Ray, where women never spoke. Well, that's what it is in the world of birds.
You're trying to lure me in there.
I wouldn't fancy it anyway. But so it's the males. The males are holding territory and they're making sure that the neighbours know they're still around. And also then, because they're still around, their missus is an establishment laying eggs and it's their territory for their food.
A final question for you. So birds, obviously, they all sing at different times, start at different times. But are they aware, this is a stupid question probably, are they aware of other species of birds and do they sing along with them or are they competing against them or what's going on there? You know, are they influenced in any way by the bird song of other birds?
No, birds are only competing with their own species.
Right.
I mean, a blackbird really doesn't want another blackbird on his territory. He couldn't give a damn if 10 robins arrived or six ducks. They're not competing with him. They're not going to take his food. They're not going to take his habitat. It's only their own species. And if you listen to it, you get a blackbird singing, and then another one answers, and then another one. So they sing and then they stop because they're listening to see, is anyone going to come back to...
And there you go. You're gone again, Aina. You're gone again. So that's Aina Ní Lonna there, and she's on the Dawn Chorus. It's midnight on Saturday night into Sunday morning and right through until 7 o'clock. And she'll be joined, of course, by Derek Mooney, Niall Hatch, and local ornithologist Alan Farrell. And that's the Dawn Chorus. And they'll be singing tonight in the RDS. Yes, not of the bird variety, but of the human variety. Sinead Ní Uachán.
Constantu Ray.
Gama, and you're there at the RDS. And what's the atmosphere like?
It's amazing. It's so nice. The weather is warm. And if you are coming here later on, put on a bit of SPF because the evenings are longer and you don't want to get burnt. I'm looking across to the RDS. People are selling hats, bandanas. To my right-hand side, we have the pubs thronged already and it's only 5 to 4. So I wonder what it'll be like before 7 p.m. when he takes to the stage. We've got food trucks here. You can probably hear the generator. I'm quite close to the generator here. Guards are around. Traffic is crazy enough at the moment, so maybe avoid this area if you are travelling through Dublin 4 and maybe go towards Donnybrook instead. But yeah, there is an atmosphere. The pubs are blaring the boss as well, so yes, there's music to be heard even though he hasn't taken to the stage just yet.
And there's that lovely sing-song selling pitch of the merch sellers outside, and you caught up with Maria.
I certainly
I have
did.
Hats, bandanas, ponchos in case it rains, and then on the air we'll have t-shirts as well. €10 for the hats, 15 for the t-shirts, and 10 for the bandanas. We can't wait to get a few, Bob.
Do you have enough hats in your storage area?
Oh, we have plenty of hats.
Are they left over from Garth Brooks?
No, these are all new in from Garth Brooks. No leftovers from Garth.
Yeah, that's Maria there.
And they have them in all colours, brown, pink, red, white, you name it.
Yeah, and these are fans for life, aren't they? Like Stephen.
Stephen is a fan for life. He's from Inverness in Scotland, and he told me about his lifelong commitment to Bruce.
The lyrics at the bottom of it, keep your eyes on the prize, hold on, aren't Bruce lyrics, but he did an album in 2006 called the Springsteen Sessions that were recorded in Dublin, and the meaning behind the keep your eyes on the prize is at the time me and my wife were kind of going through a rough patch, and listening to the song and watching the gigs and listening to Bruce explaining about a lot of his songs kind of enlightened me into look at things that are important in your life. And at the end of the day, I came to the conclusion that my family was more important than my work, and Bruce is all about that. So that kind of inspired me to make the changes in my life, and I thought, I'd honour the man with a tattoo.
Wow.
Wow, so he had a tattoo.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Real commitment there. And his wife, Debbie, did the same thing.
Mine's is Waiting on a Sunny Day. I love that song because it's like optimistic and just helps you keep going sometimes when it's a bit rough or whatever. So, yeah. But, yeah, I just love Bruce.
Debbie and Stephen, I got most of what they said there. In their I love the Scottish accent. Really love the Scottish accent.
Oh, it's quite lyrical, isn't it?
Yeah, there's all sorts of accents going around down there.
Yes, Dan from London was around as well. He made the trip over. His friends say that he's a mega fan.
I wouldn't class him as my friends, to be quite honest with you. Do you know what I mean? No one else wanted to come. I mean, Bruce is getting on a bit, but no. Love the man to pieces. Why wouldn't you? I was over 10 years ago for my mother's birthday, and he was playing the week after and I missed him, so happy to be back in Dublin, happy to see the boss.
What is it about Bruce Springsteen that you love?
Well, the music, funny enough. Yeah. No, he's a man of the people. Do you know what I mean? You can get behind his songs. The lyrics you can love and listen to. Do you know what I mean? Who wouldn't love him?
How many songs has Bruce Springsteen recorded? There's a question for you, Sinead Ní Uachán.
Oh, no, I know the answer?
I don't know the answer.
I have no clue. Yeah. Does he have like 20-something studio albums?
Yeah, amazing. Number.
I'm not good at sums.
So that was Dan from London. Good few people over from the UK.
Faye and Laith as well came over from London. They sacrificed one big gig for another big gig.
Yeah, there's somebody getting coronated tomorrow and we're going to miss it. Whoops.
Yeah, we've come over especially for Bruce Springsteen, obviously, and catching up with some friends later on this afternoon. Big fan. I love him a bit. He's absolutely brilliant. So, yeah, can't wait. Really, really looking forward to it. It's funny enough, they're playing Tunnel of Love. No, that's my favourite album. So, yeah, he's just a legend. He's there for the working man and woman. He's a social justice, great social conscience. There's so much more than the music.
Yeah, he's such a big part of people's lives, isn't he?
Isn't he just? And people love the person as well. Love the music, but love what he stands for and his personality as well. There is something quite nice about him. I was looking at those videos of him down in Kildare singing in the pub yesterday.
Yeah.
He seems quite approachable.
Yeah. Faye and Leith are a bit like Mario Corrigan and they got the venue wrong.
Obviously, yeah, being stupid Londoners, like we thought the concert was at Lansdowne Road, so we got to hotel that way. We got there, we're like, where is everyone? So, we, luckily it's only around the corner, so yeah. But yeah, it's been brilliant, everyone's been brilliant, and it's Dublin's fantastic.
Do your homework.
Nah, I don't want to do that, we don't need to do that, do we? Just need to see Brucey, don't we?
That night we went down to the river, then into the river we died, oh, down.
Down by the river Dodder, and they got to where they were going, the RDS. So, last word to who? Last word to who, Sinead?
To Sean from Waterford.
Man, Sean.
Can't wait to get going. Just back from New York. I was over in New York, saw him there Easter Sunday and the Tuesday after it. A diehard fan you're talking to here now. We're on the pitch, so a bit of atmosphere. You can't beat a bit of atmosphere. We're going to go in now. We're just going to get something to eat with friends, and we're heading in then, and we're going to get as close as we can to the stage. Do a bit of bopping, then later on, know yourself.
What song will you be bopping to? What's your all-time favourite?
My song is Badlands. I love Badlands, but all these songs are brilliant. I love them all, but Badlands particularly is my favourite.
Epic songs, they're all mini movies, Bruce
Aren't
Springsteen
they?
Songs. Yeah. Well, listen, next time we'll go. That's for certain. The next time we see we'll go. Yeah.
We'll get online on time.
Yeah. Right, well, at least you're soaking up the atmosphere there, and that this he seems to have lovely fans.
He does, and they were all so friendly, and they all wanted to talk, they all wanted to tell their stories and tell me why they were so attracted to him as a musician and as a person as well.
Sinead,
so I hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful evening and on Tuesday and
thanks
Sunday.
Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week. Sinead Ulican, Gurmagat, Slán, 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 Anish Toshinown, the Prief Skelton, and Noctil, and Marion Nihuluan. Gurmagat, Marion, thank you very much. While we're on music, we are heading off to Liverpool next Tuesday, bright and early, and we're going to be broadcasting live from the Eurovision Stadium in Liverpool. Building up to the first semi-final, and of course Wild Youth will be representing Ireland in that first semi-final. They have a lot of work to do. It's a tough one. They're calling it the semi-final of death. But we're going to be there, and we're going to be soaking up the atmosphere and sharing it with you. Linda Martin, other people will be there. We've a great lineup actually from Liverpool. That's Tuesday, and I'm just saying now that France are in the top three favourites. Evidemment. Is the French entry. Sounds good to me. It sounds good to me.
À chanter la grande France. C'est toujours faux pour être vrai, mais c'est jamais trop laid pour être faux, évidemment. Elle ne sera plus jamais.
So Sweden still favourite, Finland with their cha-cha-chas, second favourite, and France third favourite. But anything can happen because it's all about the staging and on the night. If they bring their A game to it, some people can get too nervous, the voice goes, all that sort of thing. I'm glad to see that Paul O'Grady will feature in a clip in the opening titles of the Eurovision. He wasn't a fan, but it turned out to be one of the last bits of filming he did. He filmed before his death as part of this opening sequence. So that'll be nice to remember him. Such a huge fan of his, although he wasn't a fan of the Eurovision. He will feature in the opening on Tuesday night. Now 5 on 5 on RadioRTE.ie. We've two quizzers standing by waiting to take part in our Who Done a Quiz. And there is a prize, and we say thank you very much to the people down in Muckross, five-star Muckross Park Hotel and Spa. Two nights, two people, and dinner on one evening. And summer starts at Muckross Park Hotel and Spa with midweek stays starting from €99 per person. And it's there right smack in the middle of Killarney National Park. You get access to the stunning Vitality Suite and two-hour complimentary bicycle access as well. MuckrossPark.com, MuckrossPark.com. Paul Murphy, how are you?
Well, how are you getting on?
It's all Kildare today, Paul. Whereabouts in Kildare?
Newbridge.
All right. Did you spot him yesterday?
I didn't actually, no. Oh, my sister's living out that direction. No, unfortunately.
No. And you're more of a U2 fan, I believe, than a Bruce Springsteen fan.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. St. Researcher there, we're after booking in to hit Vegas now, 30th of September.
Right, wow.
In this new sphere.
Yes, yeah.
The Edge was kind of getting, I've done an interview there a couple of weeks ago and I've seen him. He absolutely sold it.
It looks spectacular. I saw it on video there. Do you mind me asking how much the tickets are?
Well, a friend of mine got them there. £240 is all we paid for them. A friend of mine paid £700.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, of course, flights and accommodation as well on top of that.
Yeah, and herself wants to head off to Cancun for a week as well.
Right, nice. So you're
Great to be printing it, Ray.
To be which?
I said, it's great to be printing it.
Oh, printing it. I thought you were a printer. No, printing it. Funny. No,
well, she thinks I'm a printer.
Where'd you get all the money? I'm printing it, love. I'm printing it.
Oh, stop.
Now, you're not a printer. You're working for a telephone company and you have a toothache.
Yeah, yeah.
How bad is the toothache?
Well, I'm trying to have distractions here until 5 o'clock, so hence the reason I rang in.
Ah, right, so, right. We're glad to be your distraction, Paul. So, delighted. Any time you need a bit of distraction, just give us a call.
Thanks.
So you're going, what is it? Is it an extraction or what are you going for? Filling?
I think it is. Well, I'm hoping it's not. I think it is.
Right. Okay. And how long have you been suffering?
Oh, Jesus. Nearly 2 weeks.
Right. You just have to face up to it.
Nurofen Plus is finished. It's not working.
Right, okay.
Anymore.
Right. Well, I hope that works well for you. You're up against Des Kerwin, and Des is in County Wexford. How are you doing, Des?
Not bad at all, yourself.
I'm good. You're coming in loudly and clearly there from Wexford. And you're a Bruce fan?
I would be dancing in the dark now most Friday evenings at home in the sitting room. So, the old jiving of a Friday evening.
Yeah, right. You turn off the lights, do a bit of dancing
exactly,
in the dark.
Exactly.
Is it a jiving tempo?
I suppose it would be, yeah. Well, a few drinks, I suppose. It's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah. What are your plans for the weekend, apart from dancing in the dark tonight?
Well, working again tomorrow, that's the thing. And I'll probably dance in the dark again tomorrow night. We'll see how we get on.
Right. Okay. I just had this image of you and Nikita and going into the sitting room, putting Spotify on the telly, turning off the lights and selecting Dancing in the Dark. Yeah, there.
That's exactly it.
Right, so three questions each, lads. You know the deal. I'll give you the category. You tell me if you want a clue or not. If you go for a clue and get it right, you get a point. If you go without a clue and get it right, you get 2 points. And whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. And if it's drawn points, we go to a tie break question. Good luck to you both. Here we go.
Good luck, Ed.
Good luck, Paul.
Right, Paul. Music. We start with music. And what do you want to do? Do you want to go for a clue on this one or do you want to go without a clue?
Yeah, without a clue, yeah.
Without a clue. Okay. So, for two, who is this?
What'll I do when you've gone away? And my ball won't pin, my records won't play. And all of my hours limp in the days. Oh, what'll I do without you?
Lisa Hannigan.
Wow, look at you. Lisa Hannigan. Yeah, in there. You're right, Lisa. It is Lisa Hannigan. 2 points for you.
Yeah.
Well done. The great Lisa Hannigan there. That's 2 points. Good start. Des, music for you. What do you want to do?
I'll go no clue.
No clue. For two, who's this?
I know you've been hurting. Waiting on a train that just won't come. The rain, it ain't permanent.
And it's Dermot Kennedy.
It is Dermot Kennedy. Yes. It's the Irish singers today. Dermot Kennedy gets you 2 points. Well done. Good start from both of you. We're on to the second one. Former newsreaders. That's a good category. I like it. Former newsreaders. Paul, what do you want to do on that one?
No clue.
No clue. For two, which former newsreader is this?
Before we go,
Fucklescar. This is my final bulletin after 42 years working for this wonderful organisation. And I've only ever been as good as the people behind me.
Marion Finucane.
No! Eileen Dunne signing off. That was Eileen Dunne signing off for the last time. Okay, I would have thought that was a, you know, an easy one, but not. They're only easy if you know the answer. Okay, Deds.
Okay.
A chance for you to go in front now. It's former newsreaders. Do you want a clue with this one or not?
I go with a clue.
You go with a clue. Okay. This newsreader went viral after fixing his tie and face on camera. For 1 point, who is this?
Well, how true. Well, that's all from us this St. Patrick's Day. It's been a privilege to sit in this chair down through the years and be welcomed in your homes. Thank you for that and your kindness. I've had a wonderful time.
Who's that? No. Dez?
No.
No, no. I thought you were gone there because the day we're having, it wouldn't have surprised me. But anyway, no, that's Angus McGreena. So we're still even. Two each, down to the final question for you both. Irish voices. That's what the final question is on today. Paul, do you want to go with a clue or not?
No clue, Ray.
Okay, no clue. So, for two, can you name these or this Irish voice?
Okay, as you guys know, okay, we met Barack Obama, okay, and he was all the biggest people in Ireland were there. Daniel Day-Lewis was there, Gabriel Byrne was there, we were there, he skipped everyone, walked straight to us, and Michelle Obama was there also.
Bono wasn't there.
Yeah,
he was too cool. He was on tour.
Well, who's that?
Oh, the twins.
Yes, go on, quick.
John,
I'll take their name, their joint name together. No?
Sorry?
They've a name together.
John and Edward.
Yes. It was coming there, so I'll take that. That's 2 points, right. So I'll give Des, I'll give you a bit of leeway as well if you don't get out.
That's fine.
So Paul's on four. Des, you're on two. So you have to go without a clue, I would think.
Yeah, no clue, yeah.
So Irish voices for two. Who is this?
No, we're looking forward to the competition down here in Limerick tonight. We've got another five acts. It's not just
Dustin
myself.
Dustin the Turkey.
I am, but I'm really looking forward to it. I think I can pull this one off and put Ireland back on the Eurovision map.
He did put it off, and he didn't. You know, he didn't, if you know what I mean. Okay, 2 points. That's a draw then. Well done, Paul. Well done, Des. It brings us to our tiebreak question. So we asked you this before we went on air. I'm going to repeat it now for our listeners at home. Whoever gets closest to the correct answer is today's winner. Good luck to you both. According to Google Maps, how long will it take you to cycle from Kilchima, home to Louis Walsh, to Kilpeder? So Kilchima in County Mayo to Kilpeder in County Wicklow. And Paul, your guess was?
11 hours,
you say, right? It's 252 kilometres. And your guess, Des?
Oh, I can't remember what my guess was.
Yeah, 37 hours. I can remind you, 37 hours, right? Okay. So I hear that from your reaction there. You're not too confident, yeah. The correct answer is 13 hours and 4 minutes. So, Paul is the closest. Sorry about that, Des.
No worries.
Okay, Des.
Des, we're going to send you out a Ray Darcy Show Keep Cup so you can bring it into the shop with you and nobody can rob it because it's yours and you won it and you own it and that's it. Des, have a great weekend. Good talking to you.
All right.
Enjoy the dancing in the dark. Okay. Paul, well done.
Thanks very much, Ray.
Yeah, you are off to the Muckers Park Hotel and Spa in Killarney. 5-star hotel, muckerspark.com for more information. So that's a nice break. That's well done.
Deadly. Thanks very much, Ray.
Yeah, good luck with the dentist and good luck in Las Vegas. Good luck. See you. Bye.
Thanks very much. All the best.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Maya Dunphy is dropping in for a chat in a moment, but first a bit of this. There he is, the boss, waiting on a sunny day. Well, he got one today. Well, it was sunny when I came down from upstairs. Now, Maya Dunphy joins us in studio. Hello, Maya.
Hello, Ray. Thanks for having me.
Maya is the face of No Mo May.
The face of No Mo May.
You've arrived.
I have arrived. I'm here to promote No Mo May. I mean, there aren't many campaigns, Ray, where you can do more by doing less.
Uh-huh.
And this is a campaign with Unpost in partnership with the National Biodiversity Data Centre, encouraging people to let their lawns grow wild in May. And I think over the last few years, we have come to reconsider what we think of as beautiful in our gardens. It used to be all manicured lawns and perfectly maintained bushes. And I know you appreciate a well-maintained bush, Ray, but silence there for a second. But I think now we have just rethought that growing, letting things grow wild is actually more attractive. And stop it. Oh, come on. So, Unpost have sent out over 2 points.
You're trying to lure me in
there. I am not. I'm not. I'm just making an observation. Unpost have sent out over 2.2 million postcards, recyclable, of course, to people's homes, just to encourage you, just to let things grow wild, appreciate them, and to help you to know what to look out for, the different insects, flowers, and birds that we can all appreciate.
Can you be selective? Can you not mow a bit of your lawn?
Of course you can. Yes, I mean, yes. There are some people who actually get a bit bothered by it. But like I said, I really do think people have reconsidered what they find attractive. It used to be, you know, now at the roundabouts on the roads, if they were overgrown with dandelions, people would go, look, isn't it terrible? Call the council. And now people say, isn't it lovely? It's a wildlife haven. So I think we're learning new things about wildlife.
There is a problem,
wildlife.
You see. There is a problem. We have two dogs.
And
dogs like
yes,
to poo.
They do.
And they like to poo in the grass. Now, if you leave the grass uncut for a long time,
it's an accident waiting to happen.
It is. Well, numerous accidents waiting to happen, not just one.
It's a lot of skidding, Ray. It's a
yes,
lot of skidding.
Yes.
Of course you can. And also, if you really want to mow your lawn, of course you can.
Yes, yes.
We're just encouraging people to do less and appreciate what happens afterwards.
No mow May.
So look out for the postcards hitting your letterboxes soon, if not already.
How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah. I'm hanging on in there.
Yeah.
I'm just, my God, battling the Bruce Springsteen merchandise stores to get here. I came here on foot and I feel like I've been to the gig already.
Are you a fan?
Do you know what? I was asked this earlier and is it sad to say maybe I was a bit young? I think people of my age, either you appreciated it in a second incarnation 20 years ago, but, you know, 70s and 80s, I was obviously, first of all, not born and then a bit too young. So obviously I know the big hits, but I wouldn't be a diehard fan. Is that terrible?
No, that's not terrible. No, sure. Look, there's enough to go around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there is.
There's enough singers and rock stars to go around.
But yeah, I think he's great and I still would.
Would you?
Yeah, oh yes.
73.
Yeah. Do you know what I was thinking? Because the coronation's this weekend. Is he the same age as King Charles?
We'll do a fact check on that.
I think he's the same age.
That's interesting.
I mean, come on now.
Because I was saying it's the weekend.
Bruce Charles.
Are you asking me if I had to? No, because, you know, but it's the king and the boss, isn't it? How do you feel about the coronation tomorrow? Will you watch it? Will you get up for it?
I won't get up for it. I mean, it's like the Oscars. I'll watch the highlights. And everyone who says they won't watch it, I think is lying, because it is intriguing. Like the pomp and ceremony and the ritual of the whole thing, the spectacle. I think it's really intriguing. And I write a column for the Sunday Indo and I'm writing about the coronation this weekend. So I did a little cursory Google yesterday. And the garments alone, there's something called the super tunica, which is this, I think the base level, it's like when you go mountaineering, you got your base levels and then your top levels. And I think the base level, I'd imagine, is like a mankini of some sort. And then the super tunica goes over it,
right,
which is some kind of gilded gold thread thing that dates back 200 years. Then there's the imperial mantle and the coronation girdle and the coronation gauntlet. And I mean, it's extraordinary.
But to me, it sounds like more history and real fur, isn't it?
It
sounds like layers of daftness.
It is. Oh, it's ludicrous.
Yeah.
It's an anachronism. And I don't understand how, with the cost of living crisis in the UK, and you've all these families more than ever using food banks, are still lining the streets and cheering on this man in his gold carriage. And who's footing the bill? The taxpayer. Because it's a state event. It's not a private event.
But they love the crown. They love the monarchy.
Do.
They love the royals.
They do. Well, I think like most, I mean, any sensible monarchist, I think, would become a Republican looking at the madness of this weekend. But they're very defensive and they're very protective, like fiercely protective of their royals.
Yeah, because we had Jenny Bond on yesterday and I was thinking about Charles and I was thinking...
She's still going, is she?
She's brilliant. She's brilliant. I always think
those people are like, you know, there comes a point where you're too old to be a celebrity correspondent for a newspaper. But these people, the royal correspondence, they go on forever.
I think there's a bit of a petulant teenager in Charles. Look, he's going like, I've been waiting for this for an awful long time and you're not going to spoil it. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to have the two crowns and the two carriages and one of the crowns is going to be 3 kilograms weight and I'm going to put some flour in my head to practice for it and all of those things.
I think if it had skipped a generation to William, I think William would have paired it right back.
Mm. You know? Well, she was saying that a lot of European countries, they don't do the big pomp and ceremony anymore.
Yeah.
They just go, it's the registry office version.
It's almost a badge of honour. You know, the Queen of the Netherlands on her bicycle going to an event with no entourage. And here, I mean, it is ridiculous. You kind of wonder how long it will last, but I will definitely be Googling some of the images tomorrow. So, but I won't have it on in real time. Will you?
What? No, there might be somebody in our house watching it, but it won't be me.
Oh.
Is that okay?
I think they should have got sponsorship for it.
Go on.
No, it's just they, no, because people are angry that the taxpayer's footing the bill. Yeah. But if they got like really subtle, like, you know, little M&S logo on the cape, or, you know, little DHL logo, subtle one on the carriage, just little bits.
Yes. I saw a figure, like the Queen Elizabeth's coronation cost 1.something million, which is the equivalent of 46 million. But I saw a figure today, I think it was in an article with Martina Devlin, over 100 million.
100 this, million.
Yeah, this is going to cost.
I mean, it's hard to know what to compare it to. Like you say, the last one was 70 years ago.
Yeah.
And when they
anyway, we're going to move on.
Yes,
we're going
sorry,
to move
yes.
on. We're going to,
what are we doing? We're Irish. We're giving us way too much time.
Pomp and ceremony, and it's going to be in bucket loads at the Eurovision in Liverpool. Have you ever been to a Eurovision?
I've been to Liverpool, yeah. No, I haven't. And you know, I feel like I outgrew the Eurovision. I think I peaked around Mickey Joe Hart years.
Right.
When was that? Early noughties, probably.
That was Eurostar. He came out of Eurostar. He won Eurostar.
Yeah. I'll be honest. Like the Johnny Logan years were the halcyon days, the golden days of Eurovision. And now I sound like a bitter lady. It's gone very political. It's very political.
But you see, it's not. You see, like every year.
It is.
No, every year. People trot out that old trope, and then you have the statisticians come on and go, no, that's rubbish. It doesn't stand up to scientific scrutiny. I'm sorry about that.
Are there any statisticians, qualified ones, actual qualified ones, who've looked into this?
Yes.
Are there?
Yes,
really?
There's a guy out in Maynooth. Adrian Kavanagh. There you go.
Adrian Kavanagh. I want to see his CV. Adrian Kavanagh.
The way you look at me there, you think I just made it up.
No, I know I did.
No, Adrian Kavanagh is the man.
The best statistics are the ones that are made up. Nobody ever checks.
No, and I tell you what, I have grown to look at the Eurovision differently over the last 3 or 4 years, because now it is back to its glory days, and it is providing a real platform for acts to launch a music career on the world. Because last year, if you looked at the Spotify charts worldwide, for months after the Eurovision, it was occupied by a lot of Eurovision songs.
Well, 62% of people, no, that's a lie.
62% of people are not going to mow their lawn in May. Yes, yeah. So, Tom is what age, your Tom?
Tom is 7 and nearly 3/4. He'll be 8 in July.
Right.
He's amazing.
And you're writing over in London?
I am. I'm doing some. I've kind of gone back to my old writing days, the glory days.
Because people won't know that you wrote for Podge and Rodge.
I just help them hold their pen. That's all. You know, they have these stubby little hands, and they find it really hard to write. So occasionally, I'd help them go, "No, you can't, lads. You can't say that. You'll get arrested."
Yeah.
Ghostwriting. I'm doing a bit of ghostwriting at the moment, and that's the best. It's the most fun, Ray, because
biographies or what?
You can't say.
You can't say.
You get the money and you get none of the flack and none of the backlash. You go, here's the horrific joke. If you want to tell this, on your own head be it. So it's great. Yeah, I'm doing some development work for them, writing for the Indo, working on a book and doing some ghostwriting.
Great.
So it's great.
Well, you're always welcome here.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and you are the face.
Say 78% of people.
My is the face of No Mo May. And watch out for the Unpost leaflet, which will be coming through your letterbox. Sarah and Cormac are on the way. We are back on Monday at 3 o'clock. Enjoy your weekend, whatever you may be up to. Good luck. Where's Tom gone? There he is.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.